Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners. Hello and welcome to As It Is, a VOA Learning English program. Today, we are talking about something our listeners may have a strong interest in: motivation for learning. Many life coaches and motivational speakers say that the key to achieving what you want in life is to keep motivated. Motivation, they say, is the energy that keeps you moving towards your goals. Simply explained, to motivate someone is to give them a reason for doing something, a good reason. Parents and teachers often struggle with keeping children motivated to study. One way to motivate them may be to show students that what they are learning is useful and valuable. Before we continue, let's talk about some vocabulary words that will help you improve your understanding of our program. One phrase is real-world application. And if something is inspiring, it causes people to want to do or create something or to lead better lives. Awesome and cool are slang ways to say that something is really good. Now let's hear Ana Mateo as she brings us a story on students who took a field trip and how it affected them.
It is a common complaint of students: what they are learning does not have a practical use. The quickest way for students, or anybody for that matter, to lose motivation when learning is to think that it does not have any real-world application, that it doesn't matter. Recently, students at a Chinese immersion school in Washington, D.C., got motivation from an unlikely source: the White House. The White House invited 4th and 5th grade students from Washington Yuying Public Charter School to meet President Xi Jinping at the official welcoming ceremony at the White House. Oh, they also got to meet President Barack Obama. But this wasn't just a photo op, an opportunity for two presidents to take pictures with smiling children. Several of these students said that meeting President Xi inspired them to study more Chinese. It gave them the chance to see that what they are learning is useful and can be used in the real world. Maya is a 5th grade student at Yuying. She went on the field trip to the White House to meet President Xi and had this to say.
It gives you like a little bit of inspiration that other people can speak Chinese too, and you're not the only one. So.
Maya's classmate, Felix, said that the field trip was cool. He adds that the words of the two presidents were heartfelt.
I went on a field trip to the White House, which was really cool. Xi Jinping and Barack Obama were there, and they gave a really heartfelt announcement.
After returning from the White House, Felix shared his feelings about learning Chinese.
Yes, I love it. It's one of my favorite languages to learn, to speak.
The field trip to the White House also inspired the teachers. Amanda Ingram teaches 5th grade at Yuying. She adds this incredible opportunity gave the students a chance to see that what they are learning has real-world applications.
Meeting both President Obama and President Xi was just really incredible. And our students being able to see that what they're learning here at Yuying in Chinese is so useful in the world was just really inspiring as a teacher.
5th grade teacher Teng Shen is from Shanghai, China. She says opportunities such as this give students a chance to feel connected to China and the Chinese language.
I feel they have more motivation to learn and speak Chinese, and they can feel closer to the country, and they can have more connections to the language they're learning. It's really meaningful to them.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Welcome back. You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. In the first part of today's show, we heard how students studying Mandarin Chinese got inspiration from meeting President Xi Jinping and President Obama at a recent official welcoming ceremony at the White House. The visit to the White House inspired the children in their Chinese studies, but it also helped them in other ways. You will hear that it was an incredible experience. Incredible describes something that is difficult or impossible to believe, or simply very good. One teacher also uses the expression, come to the table. This means to meet to discuss how to solve a problem or end a disagreement. Now, Anna tells us more about the incredible field trip and how it affected a group of language students.
The visit was good for motivating the students in their language studies. But Ms. Ingram adds that the students were also able to see how world leaders are able to, as she says, come to the table, to overcome their differences and work together. This is important, she says, for our country's future leaders.
So they were able to see two leaders of two really prominent and powerful countries coming together, putting some differences aside, and really coming to the table to talk about how they can work together to make the world better. And I think for our students who hopefully will be those future leaders, this was just an incredible opportunity.
A child's worldview can sometimes be simple, and maybe that's a good thing. Felix, the fifth grader we heard from earlier, says the U.S. and China being allies seems only natural.
I also think it's really good that they announced that the U.S. and China should be allies, because they should, because they've been allies for like almost 100 years.
Meeting two presidents from two very powerful countries is indeed an impressive and incredible opportunity. But staying motivated in your goals need not be so presidential. You can find your own ways to feel connected to what you are learning and to find value in it. For example, if you have a child learning geometry, let them measure and cut some wood for a home project. If you are learning to play a musical instrument, find a beginner's group to practice with. If you are trying to save money, open a special bank account where you can see your savings add up. And if you are learning English, visit VOA Learning English as often as you can. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Thanks for listening to As It Is. Don't go away. Next, a new Words and Their Stories program talks about idioms for solving problems, followed by People in America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. The terrorist attacks in Paris and California have caused some Americans to become fearful of Muslims. On Monday, presidential candidate Donald Trump reacted to that fear by calling for at least a temporary ban on Muslims entering the United States. Trump would even ban Muslims who are U.S. citizens from re-entering the country. He called for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on. He said many Muslims have expressed what he called great hatred for Americans. Earlier, he said U.S. officials should closely watch Islamic religious centers, and he called for creation of a computer database of Muslims living in the country. VOA asked U.S. constitutional law experts if a president could bar Muslims from entering the country without approval from Congress. Susanna Sherry teaches at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. She said the plan is discrimination on the basis of religion, which is prohibited by the Constitution. Kevin Johnson is the head of the law school at the University of California, Davis. He called the plan hostile to the Constitution. He said it may violate the part of the Constitution that calls for every citizen to receive equal protections. Jonathan Turley is a legal expert at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. On his blog, he said Trump's plan would violate many American and international protections. He told VOA that instead of being a country that has long defended religious freedom, the United States would become the scourge of religious freedom. Akhil Reed Amar is a professor at Yale Law School in Connecticut. He has written books about the Constitution. He said Donald Trump is dividing us along religious lines. That's un-American. House Speaker Paul Ryan and other Republican Party leaders criticized Trump's plan. They want voters to know that party officials do not agree with Trump. Ryan told reporters, "Freedom of religion is a fundamental constitutional principle. It's a founding principle of this country." Senator Lindsey Graham, another presidential candidate, called Trump's plan un-American. He said Trump is helping the enemy of this nation by helping the Islamic State group recruit more members. Professor Turley says countries have the right to create programs that affect people from different areas. He said governments also have the right to investigate or ban immigrants for security reasons. He said countries also put in place immigration policies to stop criminals from escaping punishment, especially from areas where there have been rights violations. But he criticizes Trump's plan because it would set up religion as the only reason to ban individuals from entering the United States. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Now, the special English program, American Stories.
¶¶
Today's story is called The White Heron. It was written by Sarah Orne Jewett. Here is Kay Gallant with the story.
The forest was full of shadows as a little girl hurried through it one summer evening in June. It was already 8 o'clock, and Sylvie wondered if her grandmother would be angry with her for being so late. Every evening, Sylvie left her grandmother's house at 5:30 to bring their cow home. The old animal spent her days out in the open country, eating sweet grass. It was Sylvie's job to bring her home to be milked. When the cow heard Sylvie's voice calling her, she would hide among the bushes. This evening, it had taken Sylvie longer than usual to find her cow. The child hurried the cow through the dark forest, following a narrow path that led to her grandmother's home. The cow stopped at a small stream to drink. As Sylvie waited, she put her bare feet in the cold, fresh water of the stream. She had never before been alone in the forest as late as this. The air was soft and sweet. Sylvie felt as if she were a part of the gray shadows and silver leaves that moved in the evening breeze. She began thinking how it was only a year ago that she came to her grandmother's farm. Before that, she had lived with her mother and father in a dirty, crowded factory town. One day, Sylvie's grandmother had visited them and had chosen Sylvie from all her brothers and sisters to be the one to help her on her farm in Vermont. The cow finished drinking, and as the 9-year-old child hurried through the forest to the home she loved, she thought again about the noisy town where her parents still lived. Suddenly, the air was cut by a sharp whistle not far away. Sylvie knew it wasn't a friendly bird's whistle. It was the determined whistle of a person. She forgot the cow and hid in some bushes. But she was too late. "Hello, little girl," a young man called out cheerfully. "How far is it to the main road?" Sylvie was trembling as she whispered, 2 miles. She came out of the bushes and looked up into the face of a tall young man carrying a gun. The stranger began walking with Sylvie as she followed her cow through the forest. "I've been hunting for birds," he explained, "but I've lost my way. Do you think I can spend the night at your house?" Sylvie didn't answer. She was glad they were almost home. She could see her grandmother standing near the door of the farmhouse. When they reached her, the stranger put down his gun and explained his problem to Sylvie's smiling grandmother. "Of course you can stay with us," she said. "We don't have much, but you're welcome to share what we have. Now, Sylvie, get a plate for the gentleman." After eating, they all sat outside. The young man explained he was a scientist who collected birds. "Do you put them in a cage?" Sylvie asked. "No," he answered slowly. "I shoot them and stuff them with special chemicals to preserve them. I have over 100 different kinds of birds from all over the United States in my study at home. Sylvie knows a lot about birds, too, her grandmother said proudly. She knows the forest so well, the wild animals come and eat bread right out of her hands. So, Sylvie knows all about birds. Maybe she can help me then, the young man said. I saw a white heron not far from here 2 days ago. I've been looking for it ever since. It's a very rare bird, the little white heron. Have you seen it too? He asked Sylvie. But Sylvie was silent. You would know it if you saw it, he added. It's a tall, strange bird with soft white feathers and long, thin legs. It probably has its nest at the top of a tall tree. Sylvie's heart began to beat fast. She knew that strange white bird. She had seen it on the other side of the forest. The young man was staring at Sylvie. I would give $10 to the person who showed me where the white heron is. That night, Sylvie's dreams were full of all the wonderful things she and her grandmother could buy for $10. Sylvie spent the next day in the forest with the young man. He told her a lot about the birds they saw. Sylvie would have had a much better time if the young man had left his gun at home. She could not understand why he killed the birds he seemed to like so much. She felt her heart tremble every time he shot an unsuspecting bird as it was singing in the trees. But Sylvie watched the young man with eyes full of admiration. She had never seen anyone so handsome and charming. A strange excitement filled her heart, a new feeling the little girl did not recognize. Love. At last evening came. They drove the cow home together. Long after the moon came out and the young man had fallen asleep, Sylvie was still awake. She had a plan that would get the $10 for her grandmother and make the young man happy. When it was almost time for the sun to rise, she quietly left her house and hurried through the forest. She finally reached a huge pine tree, so tall it could be seen for many miles around. Her plan was to climb to the top of the pine tree. She could see the whole forest from there. She was sure she would be able to see where the white heron had hidden its nest. Sylvie's bare feet and tiny fingers grabbed the tree's rough trunk. Sharp, dry branches scratched at her like cat's claws. The pine tree's sticky sap made her fingers feel stiff and clumsy as she climbed higher and higher. The pine tree seemed to grow taller the higher that Sylvie climbed. The sky began to brighten in the east. Sylvie's face was like a pale star when at last she reached the tree's highest branch. The golden sun's rays hit the green forest. Two hawks flew together in slow-moving circles far below Sylvie. Sylvie felt as if she could go flying among the clouds, too. To the west, she could see other farms and forests. Suddenly, Sylvie's dark gray eyes caught a flash of white that grew larger and larger. A bird with broad white wings and a long, slender neck flew past Sylvie and landed on a pine branch below her. The white heron smoothed its feathers and called to its mate, sitting on their nest in a nearby tree. Then it lifted its wings and flew away. Sylvie gave a long sigh. She knew the wild bird's secret now. Slowly, she began her dangerous trip down the ancient pine tree. She did not dare to look down and tried to forget that her fingers hurt and her feet were bleeding. All she wanted to think about was what the stranger would say to her when she told him where to find the heron's nest. As Sylvie climbed slowly down the pine tree, the stranger was waking up back at the farm. He was smiling because he was sure from the way the shy little girl had looked at him that she had seen the white heron. About an hour later, Sylvie appeared. Both her grandmother and the young man stood up as she came into the kitchen. The splendid moment to speak about her secret had come. But Sylvie was silent. Her grandmother was angry with her. Where had she been? The young man's kind eyes looked deeply into Sylvie's own dark gray ones. He could give Sylvie and her grandmother $10. He had promised to do this, and they needed the money. Besides, Sylvie wanted to make him happy. But Sylvie was silent. She remembered how the white heron came flying through the golden air and how they watched the sun rise together from the top of the world. Sylvie could not speak. She could not tell the heron's secret and give its life away. The young man went away disappointed later that day. Sylvie was sad. She wanted to be his friend. He never returned. But many nights, Sylvie heard the sound of his whistle as she came home with her grandmother's cow. Were the birds better friends than their hunter might have been? Who can know?
You have been listening to the story called The White Heron, written by Sarah Orne Jewett. It was adapted for Special English by Donna DeSanctis. Your narrator was Kay Gallant. Listen again next week at the same time for this special English program of American Stories. This is Shep O'Neill.